From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. As Collier County struggles to fix its affordable housing problem, the issue jumped the county line and leaders in South Lee County are facing the same issue. When people can't afford to live anywhere near where they work, economists say it sets up working and living conditions that are hard to sustain. Today we talk with the leader of the Bonita Springs Chamber of Commerce about a new coalition of business leaders and community partners that are looking to confront the issue head on. Plus, in a place called the Sunshine State, you'd think solar power would be the dominant source of energy. After years of falling behind other states in the solar power game, we're finally catching up. Florida Power and Light is boasting more than a dozen new or upcoming solar power plants, and private citizens are also making the investment, installing their own panels, storing solar energy, and harnessing the state's most marketable resource, sunshine. We'll listen back to a show we aired earlier this year, speaking with FPL and solar power entrepreneurs about the state of solar power in the Sunshine State. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The Sunshine State has been seriously lacking when it comes to solar power. Despite being the third most populous state in the country, the Solar Energy Industries Association notes Florida is outshined by states like California, New Jersey, and even Massachusetts when it comes to generating power by harnessing the sun's energy. Coming up on the second half of our show, we'll talk with industry leaders and solar entrepreneurs about how that's beginning to change. But first, the problem of affordable housing in affluent Collier County is crossing into Southern Lee County, and communities like Bonita Springs and industry leaders in Southwest Florida are moving to address the growing housing crunch. They formed the Lee County Attainable Housing Action Coalition Group to address the affordable housing crunch. The group is a partnership between Bonita Springs Chamber of Commerce and other area entities like Lee Health, Habitat for Humanity, local banks, builders, and more. Here to discuss the coalition and the issues they're trying to solve when it comes to affordable housing in Lee County is Tiffany Esposito, the president and CEO of the Bonita Springs Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about being able to afford to live near where you work. Do you commute? What would help you when it comes to housing in Southwest Florida? Tell us about it by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Tiffany, one of the most important distinctions to make is the difference between affordable housing and low-income housing. A lot of times people tune off right off the bat because they think that it just doesn't apply to them, or because they think that maybe government-subsidized housing and low-income, they get that kind of confused. But we're talking about something completely different. Can you explain what affordable housing is?
Absolutely. So we're calling it the Attainable Housing Action Coalition for that reason. There's a lot of confusion with the difference between low-income housing and government subsidies. That's not really what we're working on as a group. We're working on the attainable aspect where we're really focusing on our workforce. So anyone making between basically 0 and 120% of the Lee County area median income, which is about $47,000 a year.
So the median income is around $47,000, and affordable means you're spending about a third of your income on your rent or your mortgage.
Correct. And that's including insurance and mortgage insurance and things like that.
Oh, and property taxes too?
Yes.
All right. So and that's for when you're buying. Of course, rent is just – is rent.
Correct.
Okay. So if the average person – and I kind of guessed here, and I was thinking about, you know, someone who works in the service industry maybe, you know, that's working along Bonita Beach Road or somebody – I mean, there's a lot of service industry obviously here. If they're making $40,000, which is under what you're saying was the average at $47,000, about a third of that is a little over $13,000 annually. That makes the monthly expenditure about $1,100 a month. So is there much on the market for rent just over $1,000 a month?
There's not a lot of options. So for every 100 people looking for rentals, there are only 9 units available. So we as a community, not just in Bonita Springs and Estero, but as Lee County, we're starting to see a lot more rental apartment complexes being built, but they're still not fitting into that attainable workforce housing and fitting into those rental markets. A lot of them will start at $1,200 or $1,300 for one bedroom. Well, what if you have 2 kids? What if you need a 2-bedroom or a 3-bedroom? What happens then?
And I think this would be particularly difficult for a single-income home.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Like a single parent or something.
Or even our young professionals. They're fresh out of school. They usually aren't making quite that area median income. They're making anywhere between, I would say, $28,000 and $38,000 a year. And they're getting out of school. They're ready to start their next phase of their life. They're not necessarily looking for a college roommate situation. So where do they go and how can they find someplace that's affordable?
Yeah, it's kind of nice to get out of the roommate situation. So when you're looking at a mortgage, though, when you're trying to do a house payment that's going to be around 11, 12, 13, you're looking at a house that's about $150,000 to $175,000. And is there anything, a freestanding home like that? Is that only condos?
I think that I'm not a realtor, but that obviously exists in Lee County, but you're going to travel quite far. I mean, we're looking at North Fort Myers, Lehigh, even some areas in probably North Cape. So if you are a server and you're working on Bonita Beach Road, that's an easy hour drive, potentially an hour and a half, depending on traffic and seasonality.
Yeah, in season, that's a solid hour and a half probably. So, I mean, why is it important then, aside from convenience and not having to sit in traffic, for people to be able to live near where they work?
The economic impact makes a big difference. So if they are working in Bonita but they're living in Lehigh, they're not using the Bonita dry cleaner. They're using the Lehigh dry cleaner. They're going to the grocery store in Lehigh. So part of it is the viability of our communities from a hyper-local standpoint. But there's also a transportation and infrastructure conversation surrounding this, and it's all connected. So if we have, you know, and making up numbers here, but if we have 20% of our Bonita Springs workforce traveling from Lehigh or Cape Coral or North Fort Myers, that's that many more people on the roads that are taking up the capacity of our road, and we need to plan for the infrastructure. There's over 5,000 rooftops currently proposed or planned or in the process going east of 75 on Corkscrew and Alico. All of those people are going to be coming, you know, going west to go to work because there's not a lot of commercial out east. So can our roads handle that? And what are we doing as a community to make sure that we are planning for the future so that our roads are able to handle that?
Well, and a thing that you mentioned earlier, for every 100 people, there are 9 places available. So it's probably more than 20% that are having to do that commute.
Yes.
It's probably it sounds like 91%. If I'm going to guess, I'm not the best at math. But last year, the Bonita Chamber joined a couple of other groups in Lee County to form an Attainable Housing Action Coalition group. Tell me about that group.
Sure. So it started as just a general conversation with a few key leaders, including the Community Foundation, Habitat for Humanity, and Trianon. And we were talking about, okay, we know that this is an issue. We know that we have had this issue in the past. And then with the economic downturn, with the conversation, you know, wasn't really top of mind anymore. And now it's becoming an issue again. So we don't want to talk about the problem and not a solution. So how are we going to find a solution? So out of that group, we formed what I'm going to call a steering committee, and we started pulling in people from the employers, the real estate industry, from financing, and from the housing coalitions. And we started having this conversation of, okay, how do we solve this problem? And we had a general idea of we need all the players at the table. We need all the stakeholders at the table, and we need to have this conversation and see who's seriously interested in helping to come to that solution. So back in October 2016, we had, I would say, about 60 people at this group meeting. We got a lot of great input, and from that we had a survey asking people for, okay, are you willing to donate resources and time and into finding a solution to this. And now our steering committee is about 15 people. So we've got a really strong group of people, and we're broken up into 4 different groups, work groups focusing on different areas, including policy, metrics, communications, and employers. We expect that to grow over time, but this is our seeds of a work group and how people can get involved.
Yeah, so it's interesting. And I wanted to ask, are you planning on doing anything like asking Lee County to do something similar to what Collier County recently did, making county-owned property available for development earmarked for builders that are developing affordable units? Are you going to be doing anything along those lines?
So we're working with our policy work group to start those conversations. The policy work group is also tightly entwined with the Horizon Council, which is the Lee County Economic Development Office, and working with the County Board of County Commissioners. But we also had at our October meeting, we had the Lee County School District and Allen Development Group, and we were able to connect the two of them. And you might have seen some stories in the Naples Daily News recently talking about planned projects for the school district to build on school-owned land where it's not suitable for maybe an elementary or middle or high school, but they can build some teacher housing because our teachers and our first responders and our our community workers, they're the ones that this problem is affecting the most. So we want to make sure that we have options for our teachers so that they continue to want to come here, work for the school district, and stay here.
So I remember seeing some news reports. It was something about the school district is going to be creating some housing units for teachers that are more affordable to keep them closer to the schools where they're working.
Yes.
And that came out of your October meeting?
Yes.
Was that your first meeting?
That was our first big meeting, yes.
The first big. Well, that's a pretty good success rate so far. We're talking about affordable housing in Southwest Florida and how the high cost of housing in Collier is slowly creeping into South Lee County. What are your thoughts and what should we do to fix it? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. It's hard not to kind of draw the comparisons between Lee and Collier County because we live right next door to each other. And when we talk about it, we frame it as an issue that's mainly a problem for affluent Collier County, but it's getting more and more critical here. Do you think that the issue has pushed north into Lee County, or do you think Lee has its own independent situation happening now?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, there are issues that do remain within county lines because when you have elected officials and you have budgets that are restricted to municipalities and to county, you do have some things that end at county lines. But we as Southwest Florida and issues like affordable and attainable housing, they don't care about county lines. I mean, these issues span all of Southwest Florida, and I think it needs to be a joint effort between Lee and Collier and even Charlotte County and Henry and Glades to say, okay, we as a region are struggling with these issues. How can we utilize the strengths of each area to solve the problems that we might be having and the challenges that we might be having in other areas?
Mm-hmm. So what kind of timeline are you looking at? I mean, do you think that this is something that can be solved in a year or two? I mean, I know dreamland, we'd like it all to be fixed right now. But how long do you think it takes for stuff like this to get put into action where people are going to be able to afford to live closer to where they're working?
So it's a long-term project. We hope to, as a group, the Attainable Housing Action Coalition, we hope to have a strategic plan in the next 12 months that is actively working towards a solution, not knowing what that solution looks like just yet. And that's what the 12-month planning period would provide to say, okay, what exactly do we need to do to solve this problem? And then step two is, all right, let's implement it. So I expect the next 12 months to be that strategic planning process. As far as a solution coming to fruition, I mean, you're looking at 2 or 3 years minimum, because even if we say 12 months from today, we are starting to implement an action plan. Even if you have the financial wherewithal, the financial resources and the land, if you say, what's today, May 2nd? May 2nd of 2018, you start a build project, you've got at least a year before that completes, a year and a half, maybe two, before you have a move-in day. So we're looking at 2-3 years before we start to see anything really have an impact. But that's not to say that we're not going to continue to work on it very, very very aggressively.
Diligently. So another question, as a Chamber of Commerce person, does it concern you that possibly employers might seek to locate somewhere rather than Bonita Springs because they want to be closer to their employees?
Yes, absolutely. Employers are looking to go where they have employees, and I think that's indicative of Hertz's relocation to Estero a few years ago. They came to this area for a lot of different reasons, one of them being the availability of a talented workforce in the sector that they were looking for. So if we cannot provide a talented workforce, our employers are going to start to relocate elsewhere. So Bonita Springs and Estero specifically, we also have the Bonita Springs Estero Economic Development Council, and that's definitely a concern there. As a county, certainly a concern. And again, how can we utilize the strengths that we have in certain areas? For instance, Lehigh, the MLK corridor in North Fort Myers, the Lee County Economic Development Office is working on a revitalization project in all three of those areas to bring more commercial there because that's where there's a workforce. So how can we as a community and as a policy-making entities encourage positive growth?
Yeah, and the goal is kind of tough to achieve, but I mean you need to attract employers that is not always simply service industry.
Correct.
And I mean
high-wage jobs.
Yeah, high-wage jobs. But I mean the service industry, it's always going to be a thing here because of the retirees and the snowbirds and the tourism and stuff. But attracting something, diversifying,
yes,
basically is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
We have a call coming in from Christine in Cape Coral. Christine, what would you like to say?
I'd like to say that the need for affordable housing for service industry workers would be more easily grasped by the community and the government if LETRAN, or the public transportation system, began their hours of operation earlier and ran much later, because service industry workers often leave for work between 4 and 5:30 in the morning. And the public transportation doesn't run at that hour, but yet they depend upon, they don't normally depend upon their own automobiles. And you'll notice when you go into a restaurant, if you happen around the back of the restaurant, you'll see a lot of bicycles. So a lot of the service industry workers find alternate means of transportation out of financially necessary, because it's financially necessary. So if LETRAN began running earlier and stopped running later, and I say later because once a restaurant closes, it can take anywhere from an hour to 4 hours for that restaurant to be to clean up so that the health standards are up to par for the next morning and the next day of business.
Yeah, that's true. It's not a 9-to-5 job. That's definitely for sure. And, you know, that's an aspect that I hadn't really thought of or considered, but there are a lot of people in the service industry who would need it earlier and later. So that could...
It would absolutely be put to use because presently they're flying on their own during those hours when LETRAN is not operating in order to get to their jobs. And, you know, less than 2% absenteeism on any given wage-earning, non-salary job is considered cause for, in most companies, cause for dismissal.
Yeah, and nobody can afford that. Thank you for that point. That's a really important point of consideration. And also, that could potentially take a couple more of those cars off the road of the 90% of people who can't afford to live near where they're working, specifically.
Absolutely. And public transportation is certainly a piece of the conversation. You know, if we continue to have this attainable housing being in the eastern part of the county or northern part of the county, again, how are people getting to work? And if it's public transportation, what happens once they get to where the bus stop is? So perfect conversation is LETRAN currently drops off at Coconut Point in the south half of the county. Where's the next bus stop? Because if you even work within Coconut Point and you're at the very back of the mall, mm-hmm. and you're going to a restaurant or, you know, the hotels that they're building behind Coconut Point and it's raining, what do you do? You know, do you show up to work and you're not, to her
point, soaked.
Yeah, you're soaked. You're not ready.
If you're not soaked in rain, you're soaked in sweat in the summertime.
Exactly. So are you presentable to even continue your work day? You know, where is and there's going to be some aspect of, you know, give and take there. But how viable is public transportation considering the urban sprawl that we have within the county?
And especially the amount of time that people need to commute if they can't afford to live nearby.
Yes.
So that's another. That's a really good point that Christine brought us. I really appreciated that call. So how is housable affordable? I don't want to call it affordable anymore because that does make you think of low-income or subsidized housing. It's attainable.
Attainable.
And I like that renaming of it. And I think rebranding it that way kind of makes it more real. I mean, it doesn't – it's affordable is kind of a relative term.
Yes.
So
And it doesn't – attainable doesn't segment it to necessarily low income or workforce. It's talking about, you know, something quite literally attainable. Is it attainable within
– logistically.
Yeah. Is it attainable financially too within these you know, brackets that we're defining this by?
Mm-hmm. Well, my last question for you, if people are interested in learning more about this Attaining Housing Action Coalition group, where can they go if there are builders or people that want to get involved or just even volunteers who have some input they would like to share?
Absolutely. So we have the four work groups, and I'm happy to share that information with anybody. I don't know if we can put it on the WGC website or not, but you can also email me at Tiffany, T-I-F-F-A-N-Y, at BonitaSpringsChamber.com, and I'm happy to point you in the right direction.
Yeah, and we have a link to your website too, so
perfect.
People can find it on our website, which is WGCUnews.org. So we're going to have to leave the conversation there for now, but I want to thank our guest, Tiffany Esposito, the president and CEO of the Bonita Springs Chamber of Commerce, speaking about the Attainable Housing Action Coalition Group. Thanks for joining Gulf Coast Live today.
Thank you.
Coming up, Florida Power and Light now has more than a dozen new solar power installations operating in the state, and home solar arrays are becoming ever more common. A look at the solar power market in Florida and what to expect from your utility and your own rooftop just ahead.